Suddenly those filled with the Holy Ghost baptized in the name of Jesus. And those group of people are telling far and wide that his power is yet the same. He's still here now. The theme for our program this week is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Can we open it now? We start from there today. I expect everybody to be in now. 2 Peter, and this is one of the most popular scriptures in this assembly. 2 Peter chapter 1, one verse. Hallelujah. Verse 10, and maybe let me add verse 11. Verse 10 and verse 11. Are we there? Hallelujah. That is our text. If you don't mind, can you stand up with your Bible? Let's just honor the word for the night. That is the word for the night. Thank you. Let's just honor the word as you stand up. Welcome our visitors. We understand people travel outside Lagos just to come for this program. Some are still on the way coming. So many because of work. They may not be able to leave their work and travel, but we know they will be here weekend. Amen. But there is the grace for each day of the program. Make sure you catch everyone. I read verse 10 in the name of Jesus. He said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And let's be very reverent. Be very reverent. Because in Acts chapter 10, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost came down. Hallelujah. While I am still yet speaking. You know, one interesting thing about the gathering here tonight is we did not advertise that you should come here today for a miracle. When you advertise a program for people to come for a miracle, all manner of people will troop there. What are they coming for? Miracle. But we said people should come here to receive the Holy Ghost. And I believe everyone that came here today, you came here because you have known the secret of going in the rapture. You have known. You want to go to heaven. The miracles will come. Amen. Healing, deliverance will come and go. There's one thing that is needful. We need to go to heaven. Hallelujah. And this is the only part of the scripture that has spoken and guaranteed a believer to go to heaven. The aspect that pertained to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the whole sermon that we preach, the preachers, we pastors, we preach. And there are several hundreds of thousands of messages you can get from this Bible. But there is only of all the hundreds of thousands of messages. If you go to a bookshop with all the books that are there, the only topic that can guarantee you going to heaven is the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All the rest is for your healing. It's for you to have faith to claim and unclaim. To do and undo. To prosper. Everything is to make you, bolt you, and make you enjoy the earth. There's only one message that guarantees you going to heaven. And that is the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to believe that everyone that is here today is here because you want to go to heaven. Am I talking to me? You want to go to heaven? Can I see your hand up? Wave it to heaven. Wave it to heaven. Let heaven see you. Oh, praise God. Put down your hand. Hallelujah. I told the ministers when we were in the camp yesterday, interceding for this program, I said, let them know that when we will get to heaven, they will call Pastor Moses Aluhe, bring your own. They will not be, the Lord will not be expecting me to bring my church members. I hope you know that. I hope you know no pastor is taking his church members there. Because there are church members that are not Christians. I hope you know that. There are church members that don't want to go to heaven. I hope you understand that. No, you don't. Maybe I'm speaking. Eh? There are church members that don't want to go to heaven. And they are doing everything not to go to heaven. When a church member carries cocaine, is he thinking of going to heaven? When a church member is fornicating up and down, is she or he thinking of heaven? Has he not read in the Bible that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God? He has read it. He has seen it. He has seen it. If he wants to go to heaven, you will see it. He won't fornicate. I preach a message I titled Unbelievers in the Church. Go and get that tape. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But who are those that will be presented? When the Lord Jesus said, Pastor Moses, oh yeah. Amen. Where is your own? I will bring those who through my ministry received eternal life. Through my ministry received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So it means so much to me. If we gather here today and only 3 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, ha! I know I have 3 I'm going with. Some people will go with nothing. But I am certain more than that number will receive. I am certain. Because we are not here by venture. There are some things you speak confidently. Confidently, because you are sure of what you are talking about. Concerning heaven, I am sure, very, very sure. I know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are some things you speak boldly because you know what you are talking about. Eh? A sister was dying in the hospital. Passed out, Brother Dayo, you were there. County hospital, I mean, where? They called me. The next day I went there. For 2 days she could not breathe. She was like in coma. Whatever it was. And I reached the hospital. And I told them, I said, I did not come to this hospital to sympathize with this sister. I came to this hospital that she shall be discharged. Hallelujah. Is that what I said that day? I said, and she was lifeless on the hospital bed. And I told the nurses and the doctor, I said, I have come here that this sister might be discharged. And I brought out my handkerchief. And I said that they will know that this Jesus Christ is alive. I said, as this handkerchief will touch this sister, let her come back to life. Dio, you were there. As the handkerchief touched her, she came back to life. Why did I say that? Something made me have confidence. Confidence. Praise the Lord. Eh? Hallelujah. As I entered my office, one sister was crying with the belly. Daddy, daddy, my belle. Jerry, you are there. Belle, belle, daddy, daddy, she's pregnant. I don't know how many months. He said, he open her belle. The pain is so much. Even I start, whether she decides to be her husband, she open her belle. Daddy, see Mark. And they sleep. Then they come, which they come, tear my belle. Hey, daddy. She's here now, so. Praise the Lord. I said, come inside, and let God drive away witch. Come inside, come inside, come inside. Praise the Lord. If that sister here, shout hallelujah. Where is she? Where is she? Where is she? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That demon left her. Amen. And so when I say you will receive the Holy Ghost, I am not saying it by venture. I am certain, I am sure. Somebody here, you will receive eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I told the Holy Ghost, I told the Lord in the camp, yes, this morning. Was it this morning? To the ministers. Eh? I said, give us a foretaste of what will happen. I said, give us a foretaste of what will happen. Start with your servants here and give them the Holy Ghost here. Hey, is Chima here? The fire came down. Yes, sir. Let those ministers jump up and shout hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. And that is why I say, I am sure, I am certain that something will happen here. But before then, we need to understand a few things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. That scripture is very, very interesting. Hallelujah. It's a popular scripture. It says, it's not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom. That scripture should make everybody to be afraid. It's not everybody that is going to church. It's not everybody that is carrying anointing. There are people that are carrying anointing, doing healing and deliverance. Listen, this is very, very important. He said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, Lord. I read from verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, many will say to me in that day, there is a day that is coming, a day of reckoning. Where? He said, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means they were not using familiar spirits. And in thy name have cast out devils. They were deliverance ministers and mighty. When demons see them, demons will run. And in thy name done many wonderful works, that is mighty miracle signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And the miserable part is verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And if you read this scripture as a Christian and fear doesn't come upon you, then there's nothing else you read in this Bible that will be meaningful to you. Now, he didn't deny that they did the miracle in his name. He didn't deny it. That means for anybody to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and say, in your name I did this, it means the grace was really much upon them. That was certain. Yet, Jesus Christ did not know them. He didn't know them. Hallelujah. Now, what is the mystery? The mystery is in Matthew 22, verse 14, where it says, for many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. And he explained that in Luke chapter 13. Can we open it? Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, hallelujah. Let me read it from verse 22. This is what he said. The Bible says, and he, Jesus Christ now, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? That was the question. And why is he saying that? Because he has heard that Jesus Christ had given a parable and said, many are called, few are chosen. He has heard that before. So he wanted clarification. I read verse 23 again. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, this was the answer. This is the answer. What did he say? Strive to enter. What is strive? Struggle to enter. Now, if you read this scripture, church, this is a restored ministry. Listen to our language. We are not repeating what anybody has spoken. We are talking Bible language here. Where we know every verse has a meaning. And depending on what you are looking for in a verse, that you will get it. The type of meaning you are looking for. Because it depends. A Pentecostal preacher who knows nothing other than prosperity, when you read the story of Esther, what does he see? He sees prosperity in the story of Esther. Hallelujah. That's all he's seeing. Prosperity. Prosperity. Just a moment. I'm seeing a lot of distractions. Can you people tell these people to bring fumigation again, please? Go around. Let these mosquitoes die. All your enemies that have been biting you will die today in Jesus' name. This is how they will die. Watch them now. They will die. They must die. Okariaku, go quickly. Tell them. Tell them to pour this thing around. Let all these our enemies die. That is how the Holy Ghost will go. And anyone that disturb you, they will be disturbed this night in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's true now. In the story of the wave offering in Leviticus, somebody, a Pentecostal GO, told his members, once every year they bring wave offering. Bring your best offering and wave it to the altar. That is all he saw. It's how to collect things from people by waving it. But people who are looking for salvation, they will see the true meaning of that there. When you talk about first fruits, somebody is looking at what is his first fruit. Somebody is looking at salvation. You know the meaning of first fruit, because the Bible says, talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, refer to Christ as the first fruit. So that first fruit there is not prosperity. And so it is also, I said, listen carefully. He said, strive to enter. When he says strive there, it means struggle to enter. If he says struggle to enter, it means it's not everybody that can enter. Many are called, few are chosen. He said now, strive to enter. Strive to enter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now when you say strive to enter, this is what you must understand. When the children of Israel left Egypt for the promised land, how many of them left there? According to records, almost 2 million. Out of that generation of 2 million that left, including Moses, that left Egypt, how many out of that 2 million made it to the promised land? How many? Two. So it gives you an idea why he said strive to enter. So it means It means many are called, few are chosen. If we are to use this ratio, it means there will be one in a million. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means there will be one in a million. One in a million. And, you know, I preached a sermon that I titled The Gospel According to Nature. Now, you try and get that tape, because I was detailed in it. How nature has made us to understand the gospel. Now, do you know that there is a law of God for the law of reproduction? God himself said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, and for a woman to conceive, all she needs is one sperm cell. One sperm cell that will fertilize the egg to have a child. But do you know that for a man to be able to produce that one that will be able to pregnant that woman, how many millions is he looking for? Must he have? How many million sperm cells must he have? Minimum what? Minimum 50, 60 million to be able to pregnant one your wife with one of them. Can't you see something is, God is speaking about something. Now when he says strive to enter, as soon as the man meets his wife and releases those cells, the race begins. Where are they going? That's the meaning of strive to enter. That's why we use the word the Christian race. Why do we call it race? Because in every athletic race, there is a winner and there is a loser. All of them take off. Bah! They take off. Some hungry go make them turn back. It's true. They will all take off. See all of them line up. Lane one, lane two, lane three, lane four. But how many people are they looking for? First, second, third. So, oh yeah, are you ready? And every one of them is hoping to be among the first, second, or third. Bah! All of them struggling. What? So all of you travel from your country to come and struggle for first, second, or third. Gold, silver, or bronze. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of salvation. I want you to understand why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to make your calling an election. Sure. Be diligent. And it's that diligence that makes us organize this program and inconvenience ourselves for 6 nights. 6 nights. I read on. Luke 13. I'm reading on. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. That is the rough gate. For many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in like those millions of sperm cells. I say unto you, hallelujah. Many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up. I explained this 2 Sundays ago. Once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand outside without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. And this verse 26 is important that I stress it again. I mean verse 25. He said, when once the master of the house is risen up, it means he is sitting down somewhere. Am I correct? Hallelujah. When once the master of the house has risen up, it means he is sitting down somewhere. Stephen saw him. seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. For the past 2,000 years, there has been the mercy seat, waiting for the last elect of God to come in. Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, where he spoke about, say, blindness in part has come to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. When the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 13, Apostle Paul says, see, you count yourself unworthy of the gospel. He said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They rejected Christ and he came to the Gentiles. And the gospel came to us. For almost 2,000 years, he has been there pleading before the Father until the last person comes in. When that last person comes in, that is the time he stands up from the mercy seat. And that is seen in Revelation chapter 10. In Revelation chapter 10, if you read it from verse 1, that mighty angel, and all the description given there, you know, is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, that stands up with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. And he had a book in his hand. Hallelujah. Crying and saying that there should be time no longer. And I told you that that period that he stands up from that mercy seat in Revelation chapter 10, that is what produced the 30 minutes silence in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When the seventh seal was broken, there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Our teachings on the seals, you can get the explanation better there. But I'm just trying to emphasize that there is going to be a time when he will stand up, and he stands up with a book. And that book that we see in his hand, hallelujah, hallelujah, is a scroll that we see in his hand in Revelation chapter 10, is that same book in Revelation chapter 5 that John saw. No man was able to collect it from the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And in that book was the secret of redemption. And John was crying because no man was worthy of opening that book, of receiving that book. And while he was thinking that it means there is no hope for mankind, amen, the secret of redemption is in those seals. Praise the Lord. While he was still thinking that no man, the angel said, don't cry, John. He was weeping. And pointed and said, for the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And he saw him coming like a lamb. And he went and collected the book. That book is the book of redemption with all our names written on them. Hallelujah. And he has been sitting with that book for the past 2,000 years. Now, when once he has risen, by the time he stands up, no more redemption for us in the Gentile world. That's what emphasis I'm coming there. When once he has risen, church, when he stands up, grace is over for the Gentile church. He's now going to face Israel. And once he stands up, the next thing that the bride of Jesus Christ is expecting, he cried with a loud voice. And seven thunders uttered their voices. Things will begin to happen within that period through those seven thunder voices, and they are voices of men that will hear something from God that will tell the bride, that will give us the rapturing faith within that period, preparing us for the rapture. And it will not be a long ministry. It will be a quick, short, and powerful work. That is why he said, once he stands up and shut the door. And then, when he says shut the door, it's not a physical door somewhere that is closed. It is a door of revelation. Because once he stands up, he's moving to the next stage. The next stage is only those who have already entered the room of revelation. One, how did they hear? How did they enter? They heard the voice of the seventh angel. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. They heard the shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. Three stages, in case you are hearing us for the first time, of the coming of the Lord. The first stage is a shout. The second stage is the voice of that archangel that cried. And seven thunders uttered their voices. That is the second stage, is the seven thunders. And the third stage is the trump of God that wakes those sleeping saints to wake up. Those of us who are alive will change in a moment and we go and meet the Lord in the air. The rapture. Now, but before, hallelujah, by the time he stands up, he closes the door because at that time, there is no more for God so loved the world. Give your life to Christ now. Give your life to Christ. No, no more. You end up being a foolish virgin, as we see in Matthew chapter 25. And you end up some paying with their blood. And now, the door is still open. Salvation is still going on. And this is the time for somebody to come in. I'm reading that verse 26. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east. If you are from the east, you shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the west, Yoruba people shout hallelujah. Dayo, shout hallelujah. And from the north, hallelujah. And from the south, Aja Delta. I shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. But whatever it is, church, this is the time for salvation. I'm only using that to let you know there's going to be a time when you will never hear this type of gospel again. And that is when the rapture has taken place. And the rapture will soon take place. You say you have been hearing it for years. Yes, one of these days you will hear it for the last time. And the fact that you have been hearing it for years is evidence that it is closer now than then. People are still joking with the eternal destination. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many are called. Make your calling and election sure. Because many are called. Many are called to do what? Many are called. Many, 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 many are called. Many are called. Romans chapter 8. Let's open Romans chapter 8. Let's dissect that scripture. Verse 28 is a popular scripture. And we know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And where we are going, to them who are the called. Somebody shout call. Shout call. Who are they called according to his purpose? The emphasis there is we are called. But remember, let this sink into your spirit that God called you for a purpose. And for you to understand this scripture of this call, Judas was called just like Peter was called. I hope we know that. The same way Jesus called Peter, the same Jesus also called Judas. The same way also he called Paul. The same way he called 70 other disciples. But watch it. Hallelujah. Talking about election now. Though he called Judas and Peter in the same way, hallelujah, Judas and Peter, did they end up in the same place? Peter was chosen. Judas was rejected. But they were all called. Maybe even the same day they called all of them. The same anointing. The same. They were with Jesus. In fact, in that church where Jesus was the pastor with his disciples, Judas was in charge of money. He was the deacon. Head deacon. If you don't understand these things, you won't fear God. Now, didn't Jesus know who Judas was? The Bible says he knew that he was a thief, yet he put him in charge of money. I preach a message that I titled The Ministry of Brother Judas. Go and get that tape. You understand that ministry very well. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true. Why? The Bible says he will are called according to his purpose. Listen, church. We are called according to his purpose. What purpose? Peter had a purpose. Judas had a purpose. Judas had a ministry. His ministry was to betray Jesus. Because if somebody close to him does not betray him, the scripture will not be fulfilled. You and I will not be saved. And Peter was called to be given the keys to the kingdom. That was his own purpose. He was given the keys to the kingdom. That was the purpose. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because every time you will say, God call me, God call me, God call me, God call me, oh, God call me, God call me. God call me. What type of call? Because Judas too was called. But throughout in the ministry of Judas, working with Jesus, there was nothing he knew concerning Jesus other than what money he can make from Jesus. While Peter was seeing Jesus say, I will make you a fisher of men. How am I going to fish for men? His mind was, how will I fish for men? How will he make me a fisher of men? Did he not become a fisherman of men? The first day he went on the fishing, Acts chapter 2. How many did he catch? 3,000. Praise God. But Judas, he called immediately and said, your ministry is to be in charge of money. Take. Because it is money that will separate me and you. It's money that will separate me and you. So that you will go the way it's written of you. I know of people who come here, they receive the same anointing some of you here receive. They have left here now. They have started their ministry. Somebody is just telling me this evening that one of them is consecrating oil and selling one bottle for 5,000 naira. And people are killing themselves to buy it. And he passed through this ministry. Was he not called? He was called. He was called. Praise the Lord. That's why I told you, this church, I say, stop calling anointing you see up and down, that the anointing is of the devil, because you see somebody is anointed and is fornicating in the church with people, and then he's doing all manner of things, and you say the anointing is not of God. It is of God. There's a mystery there. It's a genuine call. And I've preached that several times here to make you understand that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Call, call. Who are those? Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible says something. Listen, church. You can never come to Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 44. Now, understand this. Those of you hearing us for the first time. The Bible says, no man, John 6, 44. No man can come to Jesus Christ except the Father that sent him draw you. Huh. Ponder over that verse. No man can come to Christ except the Father that sent Jesus draw you. Except the Father draw you. That's why you understand John 17 verse 2 where he was praying. He said, as many as thou hast given him, say he has kept them. As many, and he was referring to the disciples. It is the Father that has given them. He was praying for the disciples. And while he was praying, Judas was there saying, amen. It's the Father that has given you. Now, so that we understand why Peter said, make your calling and election sure. I asked the question, who are those that he calls before he chooses them? Many are called, few are chosen. How do you qualify to be chosen? Now, that Romans chapter 8, let's read it. Let's read it again. Romans chapter 8. Let's read it again. Where he said, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Then verse 29, explain it deeper. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen. No man can come to Christ. It's very important you understand this. No man can come to Christ except the Father of Jesus, draw you. These are the scriptures that mean so much to the bride of Jesus Christ. Because it makes you, keeps you thinking. In Luke chapter 10, verse 22, he says, no man knows the Father or the Son. See the Son first, except the Father. Say, no man knows the Son except the Father. And no man knows the Father except the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal the Father to. Now, but if I ask you, who is Jesus? You will jump and repeat what you read in the Bible. Jesus is the Son of God. But Jesus is saying, you can never know him. You don't know him. It's only the Father that knows who he is. And he is the only one that knows who his Father is. And if you will know who the Father of Jesus Christ is, Jesus must reveal the Father to you. You can never know it through a Bible school. And that's why quickly, when he asked Peter and the rest of his disciples, who do men say, I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter quickly said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus quickly told him, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. That is, Bible school did not reveal it to you. No reverend doctor revealed that to you. But who? But my Father, which is in heaven. Because it will take God, the Father, who knows who Jesus is, to let you know that that is Christ, the Son. What do you mean by the Son? Christ, the Son. It means they were expecting the Messiah. So, A man appeared from nowhere, born by one poor family, and is walking the shores of Galilee. And then, how many of you will believe that he is the one Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah chapter 9? Before you will believe that, it will take the Father to make you believe. Now, it's so easy because you read it in the Bible. You are saying, yes, that Jesus is the Son of God. It's because they don't write them now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so those are scriptures that mean so much to us. Why does he call me? I come from a largely Muslim family. Why did he call me and did not call my Muslim brother that died chanting tasbih, reading Quran and reciting and reciting and reciting and reciting? One of my cousins, a very senior SSS officer, he died last year. And when I went to see the family, they were at home. They were narrating his last moments as he was about to give up. So he was shouting, he was busy, reciting Quran. And I looked at her. They are all Muslim. They were saying, oh, they are sure he's now in heaven. But I went to condole them. So now inside my heart, I say, we'll go see. Which heaven? But see how sincere he was. Up till his last moment, he was counting chesby. And saying his last moment, and he gave up calling on a non-existent God. Ha! Yet very sincere, he held on to it. He did not deny that nonsense. Now, why didn't God see the seriousness of that man and call him? Me, I was not even a serious anything. No. I don't even know that God did anything. I was not living my life. Like, what do you concern me? I was a renegade. And at this renegade, now ain't God they interested in. And this one, hey. My elder sister goes to Mecca twice every year. Same father, same mother with me. She goes to Mecca twice every year. So that should be the one God should call now. Why did he call me, church? The answer is in that verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. What does that mean? Foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. You have to understand this call of God. That's why I'm emphasizing it. What is foreknowledge? There was something he knew concerning me in advance. Brother, there is something. Do you know God knew you'll be sitting down here today? That you'll be sitting down here and sleeping when I'm preaching about eternal life? Do you know he knows? Praise God. He knew. He knew that you would take off from Aja to come here only to sleep. Not if from Aja you come. Aja. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm just saying that. Before your mama born you, did God know that today you'll be sitting down here from Aja to sleep? Did he know that you'll be sitting down here today, church? Before your mama was born, before your papa was born, did God know about you? Did he know you'll be sitting down here? Praise the Lord. No, if you don't catch what I am stressing, you will fight the doctrine of eternal destination, predestination, and eternal security. The doctrine of predestination and eternal security. Hallelujah. And listen, because that is the theme for this program. Making your calling and election sure. Am I called like Peter or called like Judas? Amen. Now, watch it. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 9,
Two children were in the womb of Rebecca. What are their names? Jacob and Esau. And while they were still in the womb, God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Two innocent children inside the womb, they never born them yet, though. They were still in the womb of their mother, Rebecca. God said, one I hate, the other one I love. Does it mean that God is partial? Why should he love one and hate one? Foreknowledge. He saw ahead that these two children will be born. The senior one, Esau, for what he will eat, he will sell his birthright. He saw Esau, he was speaking knowing who he will be. It's not God that made him like that, but God knew who he will be. And while they were in the womb, he said, Esau, I hate, Jacob, I love. Whom he did predestinate. Then, hallelujah, you have to know the mystery of salvation. John chapter 1, praise the Lord. Verse 1. Amen. That scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was. And if you read further, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwell among us. I've explained that scripture several times here too. That word there is logos. That word there is thought. Logos or thought. The way that scripture should read for proper understanding is, in the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. Which thought? Which thought? And that thought became flesh. Which thought? Listen, Trinitarians. Don't listen to me through what your pastor teach you. I'm teaching you Bible. This is the revealed word. Praise the Lord. Apostle Peter called it the present truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the Garden of Eden, church, in the Garden of Eden, when man fell, hallelujah, did it take God by surprise? When he was creating Adam and Eve, did God know that serpent would deceive them and they will fall? Did he know? Church, did he know? This God na helele. This God na waya. Nobody be like him. You already know. He knew. And yet he left serpent there. Amen. And that is why the Bible says, for he has created all things and for his pleasure they are. And we are created. Apostle Paul said, who are you to reply your maker? Eh? In that same Romans chapter 9, he said, why will you even question God? Assuming you don't even know why. Why he hated one and loved the other. You want to question him. He said, who are you to question him? He said, who are you, clay, to answer, talk to a potter? Why did you form me like this? Who are you? Can't he break that pot and remold another shape? Eh? Praise the Lord. That's exactly the problem with people, and they don't know. Every day, many of us are busy replying God, why did you make me like this? Why did you create me like this? God. A short woman who suddenly thinks God made mistake by making her short. What will she do? She will go to a carpenter to carve wood to increase her height. And anytime you do that, you are replying your maker, why did you create me short? When you see a human being, an African man, Nigerian man, we go and carry bleach, man or woman, and bleach your skin. He's saying, why didn't you make me like European? Why did you make my skin black? Why did you make my hair? Why do you think women are going to palm their hair and put those chemicals on their hair? They are telling their maker, why didn't you? And then they will put Chinese attachment here, American attachment here, Indian one here, and all that. Why? He say, God, why didn't you make me an Indian? Praise God. It's true. Now, if you had a choice to come to this world from where we come, will you be a Nigerian? Even me, I won't be a Nigerian. Who would like to be a Nigerian? Even Africa, Papa. Even South Africa would like to be there. But it has pleased God to make me come through the womb of an African. And you should be proud of it. The truth is, our God is a God of variety. Even when he was making color, the rainbow color, it's not one color he put there. Different colors. So black man, be proud. Black is among the colors. Black na color. Red na color. White na color. Short na height. Tall na height. Okay, I don't want to go that way now. Let me come to my subject. Praise the Lord. Foreknowledge. He knew that serpent would tempt him, but he left him. Is to fulfill his purpose. It's to fulfill his purpose. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, knowing that man will fall. And when did God know that man will fall? When did he know? The Bible tells us, when was Jesus Christ slain? When was Jesus Christ killed? Revelation chapter 13. Hallelujah. Verse 8 tells us he was slain. When? From the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, Christ had already been slain. But when was he actually slain? It's in AD 33. But the Bible says he, Christ, has been slain, killed from the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, in the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. Which thought? When man fell. Hallelujah. Every human being was condemned to go to hell. You and I sitting down here, we were condemned to go to hell. And all of us were marching to hell. Because the soul that sinneth shall die. And the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But through his foreknowledge, that is what I'm coming to. Among those people that are going to hell, he saw two groups of people there. He saw a group that if he should come and reveal himself to them, they will believe him and serve him. Whichever means he will use, he knows which means to use. So he can use sickness to reveal himself to you. He will use frustration. Yes, to reveal himself to you. He can catch you inside prison yard like he catch me. Yes, can catch you anywhere. It's not how he catch you that matters, but the end result. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.